morning, and welcome to Video Nasties. It's 8:22 a.m. Monday, August 14th, 2022, and I'm, what fucking year is it? 2023, and I'm on Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Yeah, obviously I'm a little out of it, but I have my coffee, so I'm good. Last night I watched Red Sun on Arrow streaming. I was pretty surprised by it, the content of the movie, or the film, whatever you'd like to call it. It was much more of a European art film than what I was expecting. I was expecting a female revenge movie just based on the poster or the thumbnail on Arrow. It looked to me like a female revenge movie, and I was expecting more of a 70s grindhouse angle, and I was kind of secretly hoping for that as well. Or not so secretly. I was hoping that's what it would be. The movie itself is a bit boring, and maybe that's cliche to say about this kind of movie. It's sort of like a talky European movie, people talking in rooms, which I love, but it just, the conversations weren't interesting enough to really hold me. Although I did keep watching it. I sort of liked the vibe that it brought in. I like brought into the room. I liked just having it playing. So I watched it for a while. And I might as well just read to you the description from Arrow. I didn't set this up. This episode is a little looser, as you can tell. I don't know when you'll actually be hearing it. Right now, I'm not supposed to be posting. Okay, one moment, please. And here we are, still recording, I think. Yes. Red Sun, a film by Rudolph Thorne. Here's the description from the Arrow streaming app. Red Sun, 1 hour 25 minutes, 1970, Germany. Directed by Rudolph Thomas, Marquard Baum, Kings of the Road, gets a ride to Munich, where he finds his ex-girlfriend Peggy. Oh, by the way. So yeah, it is German. And also, you sort of follow this guy, Thomas, for a while, and then it kind of drifts away, and you're with, like, this group of women who sort of, like, share this apartment that he stays in one night. And yeah, it's just sort of an interesting shift in narrative. It's sort of loose. All right, I'll get back to this, the description. Where he finds his ex-girlfriend Peggy, counterculture activist and model Uschi Obermeier, who takes him in. In her flat, he finds Peggy and her roommates, there you go, have a commune-like lifestyle where they kill the men in their lives after 5 days, but will Thomas realize in time? Yeah, and they have this weird way where they use this gun with a silencer on it, but then it just sounds like a pellet gun or something. A BB gun. But then the guys, like, die. I don't know, it's this kind of, I don't know, almost meta thing. All right. Will Thomas realize in time? A pop fantasy focused on the post-68 and women's liberation movements, Red Sun was compared to a comic strip by Wim Wenders, and is a beautiful art genre collision that is both brilliantly bizarre and provocative. Director Rudolph Thom was an emerging talent in the new German cinema alongside Wenders, Fassbinder, and Herzog, but received little international distribution and fell into obscurity despite a consistent career covering 6 decades. Wow. Yeah, I'd never heard of him. I was on kind of a new German cinema kick for a little while there. I was into particularly Fassbinder. Rainer Werner Fassbinder. I watched Ali Fear It's the Soul, and that kind of got me into the whole thing. Even though I'd seen Aguirre, Wrath of God, years before when I was a teenager. I was probably like 14 or something. And that was my first exposure, my first true exposure to the new German cinema. I was aware of some of it from my movie books, some of these movies, but I hadn't actually seen one until then. Thank you for listening. This is Video Nasties. Right now I am in downtown Orleans, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. It's also where I work. But I never get to walk around downtown, so this is kind of nice, kind of fun. Waiting for my car to get inspected. Or rather, my mom's car that I'm currently using because I don't have a car. So, what have I been watching? Well, lately I've been on kind of an animation kick. I've been really into Jan Svankmajer. And I watched his Faust last night, which I liked. I liked it a lot. I think in some ways it's a step up from Alice in terms of animation and just in terms of sort of like maturity. And it's kind of a different style. It's a little darker, a little grittier. Well, definitely grittier, actually. Not as much stop motion. There's definitely puppet work, marionette work, I should say. And some of that's cool. There's some dialogue that I thought was kind of cool. If you can call it dialogue, it's more like giving a sermon. It's interesting. So I watched some of that last night. I've also been watching Colossus, the Forbin Project. That was what I wanted to talk about. I'm still having some issues with concentration and focus, but I've been better about that. The problem with the Forbin Project was I have a lot going on in my mind right now, and I just decided that I'd switch it up and watch something different. But I got a little bored with the Forbin Project, but I did watch it for a while, and I think it's an interesting movie. It's a really interesting movie. It's an early example of an AI movie. It's actually the earliest movie in the AI collection on Criterion. They just added it recently. So I've been watching it. It's 70s? Could even be late 60s. I'm not sure of the year. But it's about this sort of like top secret. I don't know if it's top secret, but well, probably. It's about a government project which takes the form of Colossus, which is a supercomputer that begins to gain sentience, and it's indicated to the scientists and also the politicians that it's gained, well, but really to the scientists, they're the ones who understand it better. It indicates to them that it's gaining sentience through its communication with a Russian system known as Guardian. So it's Colossus speaking, essentially, speaking in quotes, but that's the word I'll use. It's Colossus speaking to Guardian, and they speak to each other through mathematics. So it starts with the multiplication tables, and then it gets more and more complex and advanced, the mathematics that the two systems are using to communicate with each other. So that was kind of the big turning point in the movie. It's proven that they still have control of the system, although that's iffy. It's a bit talky. It's flashy for the time, but for now, where everything is built on a computer, it just seems a bit kind of stiff and again, talky. Rest in peace, Gary Young, also known as the Rotting Man. Producer, drummer, extraordinaire, drummer, producer, extraordinaire, for Pavement, early Pavement. So Gary Young produced and played drums on Pavement's seminal first album, Slanted and Enchanted. He also played drums on and produced Watery Domestic, which was an EP that ended up being released the same year as Slanted and Enchanted. I believe Slanted and Enchanted was completed in 1991. I have the CD. I've been listening to it today in honor of Mr. Young. Also known as, or aka the Plant Man. I think it's the Plant Man or Plant Man. I don't know. I know him as Gary Young or the Rotting Man. Born on 5/3/53. That's May 3rd, 1953. So yes, I've been listening to the CD. And on it is written S and E, 91. So I believe the album was completed in 91, but wasn't released until early 92. So April 92. I don't have the exact date. I'm hoping it's around my birthday, but I don't actually know. I'm actually going to look it up really fast. I can't because it's raining and my phone has water on it now. So, I think Gary Young is... Oh, okay, yeah, right after my birthday. My second birthday, in fact, April 20th. So 4/20, 1992 is the release date of Slanted and Enchanted, which just makes it even more awesome because that's just a perfect release date, especially for me. So... I don't think that Gary Young was a great drummer, per se, but I think he was a great drummer for Pavement, was perfect for Pavement. I think he is kind of a great drummer in his own way. He definitely has a sound to his drumming, and it's that sound and that groove is integral to early Pavement, the early Pavement sound. They definitely changed it up, or the band definitely changed on Crooked Rain, it has a slicker sound to it, but I like the raw early Pavement recordings. Gary Young had a studio called Louder Than You Think, and that's where these early Pavement recordings were recorded. Watery Domestic is what I'm listening to right now. It's a blast, and it makes the perfect companion piece. It is the perfect companion piece to Slanted and Enchanted, actually released after. It feels a bit like the B-sides from Slanted and Enchanted. It's only four songs. It is an EP. But each song makes an impression. As I said, I've also been listening to Slanted and Enchanted on CD today. And I found an interview from 3 days ago with Stephen Malkmus on, like a Team Coco podcast, with the three questions with Andy Richter, I think is what it is, what it's called. So I think that's just coincidence, because I think Gary Young passed away either today or yesterday. Unclear what the cause of death was. I believe he was an alcoholic during the Pavement years, but then he got sober at some point, I think, back in the 90s. So, Gary Young, yeah, interesting guy. The kind of big revelation to me today was, or is, at least according to Wikipedia, and I don't know if this goes for all the early material, but when I say all the early material, I really mean all the songs on Watery Domestic and Slanted and Enchanted. I don't know how true this is, but according to Wikipedia, Slanted and Enchanted, Watery Domestic, I guess all the old Pavement recordings up to Watery Domestic, that was really kind of the end of the early period. Apparently all of those recordings were done by a trio, which was Stephen Malkmus, Spiral Stairs, and Gary Young. So Stephen Malkmus sings lead, plays guitar, Spiral Stairs sings backup, plays bass, Gary Young plays drums, and he produces, and they record in his studio, which is in his garage, I believe. It's true garage rock and true indie. And I'm glad that the album has since gained a following, a cult following, or just a following period, and has garnered respect and has been featured on countless lists, including being put at number one on this list that I don't remember the list itself very well, but I remember the article, the 100, I think it was the 100 best indie albums of all time, and I cannot for the life of me remember the website, / the magazine, or the magazine, whatever it was. They put Slanted and Enchanted at number one, and I remember this was a big moment for me where I was like, okay, I have to listen to this, I have to get into Pavement. I'd heard of them, I was sort of vaguely aware of who they were, what the album was, but I didn't really know anything about it, and I still have a lot of research to do on it. I'm just a big fan, I just love that album, and I do think it's the greatest indie rock, or the greatest indie album of all time. It is the definitive indie album. They, however, accidentally or intentionally they created and or discovered the indie rock sound, the seminal indie rock sound, the true indie rock sound. They were truly independent. This is true alternative rock. And it's just really cool and exciting to me to think of these three guys in Gary Young's garage recording Slanted and Enchanted.